Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. Good to talk
and
with you.
And how are you?
I am proceeding just dandy. Fine and dandy. Just aware.
Dandy?
Yes, dandy. I am fine and dandy because I am aware of some things that I want to get more awareness of. And widen my perspective, and it doesn't feel, none of them really feel like a big deal, which to me seems like, oh, just the perfect time to take a leap, a new expansion leap. So that's where I want to go on this conversation.
Excellent.
But before we get started with that, I would like to ask a question for Magda. She is working with a gentleman that she is interested in romantically, and she feels that she feels a connection with him, but he is not like making any actions towards you know, getting together with her. And she is curious if he is interested in her and he likes her. I guess she just wants to know if, you know, she's feeling something, that there is a connection, but he's not making any moves to connect. So she wants to know if he is interested in her.
I would say at this point, not necessarily, but that doesn't mean that he couldn't be, but that he simply isn't paying attention in that manner. And what I would say is I would ask her why she is not initiating. Why is she waiting for his cues? People aren't always initially dramatically attracted to each other, and for different reasons, people aren't always paying attention in relation to attractions if they aren't blatantly obvious, but that doesn't mean that there is no connection, and that doesn't mean that they wouldn't necessarily be interested in other people if they were presented with the opportunity.
So I think a question, if she did initiate, would he be receptive to that?
I would say that if she did initiate, he likely would be receptive to a degree. I would say he is significantly distracted presently, but what I would say is two factors. One is I understand her attraction and her feeling of connection, and objectively, people don't always express that in reciprocation. Many times one individual has the connection and the other individual doesn't. That is very, very common. But I would also say that this situation is a presentment in which she can pay attention to herself and an opportunity for her to practice initiating rather than waiting for the other person.
Okay. And then the second small question is he intermediate?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that, Elias.
Welcome.
Okay. So now two things to talk about. Which one do I want to go first? I'm going to start with the lighter one and the more fun one to me. So I've been thinking about this whole, I mean, everything that I've heard, I have heard before, but for some reason I kind of heard it and it connected with me in a different way. And I want to talk with you to expand that because I feel like I'm just barely grasping it and I want to get a good hold on it. So I was thinking, like, you know, you say or with the shift, there's going to be less and less, the veils are going to have less separation, and all the ghost and the dead people will say, you know, when you die, since we're all interconnected, you don't really, they're still around. And to me, I'm sitting here in physical reality and I'm like, it doesn't really feel like they're still around. Okay, I'll take your word for it, but it doesn't feel like it. But then, and I knew this before, or I've heard this many times before, but then I heard someone say, okay, so I am focused here, but there is still, there. And I know this is just words, there's still a part of me that is right now in this present moment, there is a part of me that is non-physical. And then all of a sudden I say, oh man, well that, so I could see the connection then. I'm like, okay, there's a part of me that's non-physical. And then my grandfather who has passed away, that I place him in non-physical. I'm like, so we're kind of there together. Or even with you. I'm like, okay, I'm there. My non-physical part is with you. So we're still all together. So when I look at it from the non-physical part and putting me in non-physical, it's like, all right, that kind of makes sense how we're still all connected. And how we're all connected is because we're all non-physical together. And then there's just this a little attention. Right now, I'm just focused right here. At this moment, I'm focused here on my Anne perspective. And since my attention is here instead of in the non-physical, that's why it feels like I'm separate, because my attention is here. So I know we've heard this thousands of times before, but I got this on this different level about me being non-physical. So if I connect, so to lessen the veils and to connect with I guess I'm thinking it would be easier for me to connect with non-physical or like someone who has died or passed on. I'm thinking it might be easier for me to get in touch with my or to focus more in my non-physical part versus trying to be fit. I think what I was doing before was trying to focus on the physical and then think about, from my physical point of view, think about the non, like my dead grandfather, for example. Think it's, how could I connect with him? But I think it would be easier instead of trying to connect to him from my physical point of view, connect to my non-physical point of view. First of all, does my non-physical have a point of view? I know, it's great. Obviously, I still have a lot to understand about this. So I'm going to drop this subject here and let you talk.
I would say yes.
I'm sorry, Elias.
But I would also say that is continuing to move in the direction of that separation.
Yes, and I know that too.
But, I would also say that for you, that might be an avenue in which you could be moving in a direction to actually lessen that separation.
Yeah.
Because you can be moving in directions of connecting yourself with that part of you that you think of as being non-physical, and be moving in a direction of merging that together, being by simply being more aware of that.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
And therefore, that actually could be an avenue, a method for you of how you could actually lessen that separation by becoming more aware of that non-physical aspect of yourself, which that is what you think of as your essence.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore, the more you are in touch with, in a manner of speaking, or connecting to that, then the more you are actually moving in an expression of being less separating, in a manner of speaking, and also allowing you to connect with things that you have a very strong perception about being separated from.
Yeah. So I think I do, just I have these, I don't know, like these awarenesses that are starting to come, and I have these musings that I'm kind of maybe getting a little bit more tuned into, or maybe suspicions, not a bad suspicions, but maybe just, but I think that I, before we really talk about in depth, I mean, we could talk about it, but I'm not sure how much I'm going to understand at this point until I kind of get a little bit more into it. So maybe we could end it there, unless you think there's anything else that you could add that might help me and my understanding of that.
I would say that there are several practice with that. You could practice with or visualization or experiential visualizations. I would say you with it through meditation, but I am aware that you aren't necessarily at the point yet with meditation to be engaging in that direction. But you definitely could in visualizations.
What was the very first one you said before visualizations? I missed that.
Dreams.
Dreams. Okay. Oh, yeah. Dreams. Huh.
And why would you express it in that manner? Oh, yeah. Dreams.
Because I actually was just talking to John about this last night. It's like, you know, some people go to bed and they have these great dreams. Very rarely do I have, like, really enjoyable dreams. I've had that one dream where I connected with you that was so freaking phenomenal, but that's, like, the one I can remember. Most of the dreams I remember are, like, either anxiety dreams or the majority of dreams I remember is I'm trying to do something and something is hindering me. That is probably 95% of the dreams I remember. And I remember asking you once about this, like, oh, I'm probably going to create chaos because I'm having all these frustrating dreams. And you said maybe you're having these frustrating dreams so you won't create the chaos in your waking life. So I've kind of said, okay, that sounds good, and gone with that. But my dreams are still frustrations. And I guess they still must be an indication of frustrations I am having in my life, which I do want to move behind. Like, if I think about my dreams, I feel like I've been stagnant in my dreams. My waking life, I feel like I am growing and expanding and getting to better and better places. But my dreams feel stagnant to me. I still feel frustrated. And I still feel like impediments are always being put up against me in my dreams.
Now, that is an interesting factor. And I would say that you could actually move in the direction of intentionally changing that. By, first of all, altering your sleep patterns, not dramatically, but somewhat, and altering what you do before you go to bed, and keeping a dream journal. It is actually interesting that people that keep dream journals begin moving in different directions with their dreams, because they are aware that they are keeping a log of their dreams, in a manner of speaking. They engage their dream activity differently. Now, if you are altering your patterns before you go to bed, which that is significant also, and therefore moving in directions in which you are intentionally expressing in manners that release tension and also allow you to genuinely relax and feel safe. And therefore, that will affect what your subjective activity is. Because remember, your dream imagery is the objective awareness interpreting what your subjective awareness is doing. And that creating imagery about that. Now, also, there are many layers of dreams, and generally what you interpret with them is only the first layer. But I would say to you, first of all, if you are genuinely beginning to implement a routine of relaxing before you go to bed, I would say, what do you do before you go to bed?
Most of the time, watch TV.
Very well. And are you doing that directly to the point before you go to bed?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I like put my earbuds in and I'll listen to sleep meditation or some kind of a podcast. But usually if I'm putting my earbuds in and listening, it would be like a sleep podcast or something to relax me, but maybe it's not working.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think it's...
I would say, first of all, I would encourage you, how long do you listen to a sleep meditation?
Usually till I fall asleep.
Which is approximately how much time?
It could be anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, depending. Like last night, I couldn't, like sometimes I fall asleep right away. And last night, I couldn't believe how long it took me to fall asleep when I was listening to it.
Yeah, obviously this is entirely your choice, but I would say that obviously is not being successful.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say that, first of all, it is a matter of releasing energy to allow you to relax. Watching television doesn't do that. I would say that it may be considerably beneficial to you to, after your evening meal, after dinner, to go for a walk for, I would say, approximately half of an hour, perhaps even 45 minutes. You can then come home, have your wine. You can have your wine during dinner also, but you can have your wine after you walk, but the walking will allow you to release some of that energy before you go to sleep. I know that you are very fond of your wine, but I would also express to you that it does incorporate a tendency to not necessarily be conducive to sleep.
Yeah, I think we have, not a lot, but we are cutting down on, or I am cutting down on my wine consumption. Some nights I still drink as much as I used to, but there's more and more nights that I don't drink as much as I used to, so.
I understand. What I would say to you is that I would encourage you after dinner to take a walk, and you can incorporate your wine after your walk, and in that, what I would say to you is, I would encourage you to engage reading before you sleep. The reason I express that is because reading actually engages several actions simultaneously. First of all, what it does is the action of reading, it exercises your actual eyes, and your eyes, at the end of the day especially, begin to become tired. When your eyes are tired, it signals the rest of your body. It creates a signal in your nervous system to express to the rest of your body that you are tired and to relax. Also, what it does is it exercises your thought mechanism in a different manner than simply thinking. It exercises your thought mechanism to be connecting with your imagination, which also lends itself very well to sleeping and moving almost seamlessly into dreaming. Therefore, that is another action that it does. Another action that it does is it takes you away from your daily mundane routines. It moves your attention in a different direction. It moves your attention away from whatever you were engaging during the day, which plays a significant role in your restlessness and why it is difficult for you to fall asleep.
Okay, so can I ask you, would it going for like running on a treadmill be as effective as going for a walk? Is that releasing energy too, or is there something about the walk that would be better?
I would say the walk would definitely be better because you breathe differently, you pay attention differently, you have different stimulation outside that definitely encourages your body to be releasing energy. You don't always release energy on a treadmill.
Oh, interesting.
The fact you think you are because you are running, but the fact that you are running doesn't necessarily mean that you are releasing energy. You are running in place, and in that, your attention is not distracted.
Okay.
Therefore, I would say that, yes, it does make a difference if you are actually walking outside. It is definitely more relaxing. It is a more effective method of releasing energy. You generally will breathe more naturally, which you don't generally do on a treadmill.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Elias.
Welcome.
All right, and then my last topic I want to talk about, this one I really want to get. and, I mean, believe me, I know there's no coincidences, and I know this is the science wave, and I know it's all about accepting differences. And I know no accidents, but I happen to be working at this project now where I say, oh, these people, they are the most needy, high maintenance people of any project that I worked at so far with this company. They are, and they do annoy me. And a couple of them in particular, it's interesting because when I first started this project, I was like, oh, wow, everyone's so nice. Everyone's so nice. And I really liked them and it was all easy. And then all of a sudden, bam, I started to get these people that bug the freaking crap out of me, if I'm being honest. And a couple in particular, and I noticed, like I know, you know, you said words are very important. And I am starting to pay attention to that more. And I am going to really, like, I'm moving in the direction of 100% paying attention to what I'm saying. I am allowing myself to sometimes slip back because it feels good to say, she's a fucking idiot, or she, I can't stand working with her. And that's part of it too. I mean, I realize, like, just like this one woman in particular, I'll just use her as an example. She drives me crazy and it feels good. It's like I almost don't want to let go of moving past it because it feels so good to tell other people what and how horrible she is. It feels good.
And let me also acknowledge that. Because that is a significant piece, that it is very easy to misunderstand when you are looking at differences and you are looking at acceptance. It is very easy for you to automatically move in these directions that you do, most of you do, in thinking that if you are accepting of the other individual or the situation or whatever it may be that is presenting a difference to you, that your opinion will change. And it won't. It doesn't mean that suddenly you like this, or that you agree with it, or that it doesn't matter to you. You still have your opinions. You still have your importances. Therefore, I acknowledge you that it feels good to complain about what another individual is doing or how they are expressing themselves or what that difference is. The point of acceptance is that you aren't moving in a direction of allowing feelings to rule you and to dictate your behavior and your choices. That doesn't mean you don't have any more opinions or that you never voice your opinions.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Also, a piece in which you use your opinions, your guidelines, which is the identification of what is right and wrong and good and bad for you. You use those expressions to be validating yourself, to be discerning what individuals are more like you and what individuals aren't, and in that you gravitate to individuals that are more like you. Birds of a feather flock together. They do. And you as humans do that also. All species do that. And I would say that that is very natural. And how you do it as humans is through your ideas, your opinions, your guidelines, what you perceive in your world, how you perceive in your world, and individuals that perceive very similar to yourself, you are more drawn to. It isn't a matter of you are eliminating differences by accepting them, not by a long shot.
But I don't
you
want
have,
them. I know I'm not eliminating, but I don't want them to bother me.
And in that, what I would say is they may be somewhat bothersome to you, but not in the manner that they have been previously.
Well, that I agree.
Because differences generally are, to a degree, bothersome, especially if you don't understand them. Then they might be more bothersome. But that doesn't mean that you are allowing that to rule you.
Right.
And that you are following the feelings with that to the degree that your feelings are dictating your choices.
Okay.
Are you understanding this?
I am understanding perfectly, and I actually think I am making great headway in that direction, and I am being, maybe not all the times, but I am taking a little more consideration before I respond in situations like with these people that I don't like. I am thinking more about how I do want to respond. So I know I am doing more of that. So I guess I'm wondering then, is it beneficial or not beneficial then to say, okay, with this person, this is my guidelines. I'm going to act by my guidelines towards this person when I'm interacting with them. And obviously they are going to be picking up energetically because you can't hide your energy, but you can still, you know, treat them with compassion and what I want to do. But is it beneficial then? It feels beneficial because it is a release to go then say, oh my God, I can't believe this one, especially when you're complaining about them with someone who understands, you know, is that beneficial?
Yes.
Or, so, yeah. And I mean, am I hindering, is that hindering me by complaining?
No.
Oh, good to know.
Actually, it allows you, in a manner of speaking, to throw off that energy.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's like, because then you're done with it. You're like, okay. And then you're done, and then you can laugh about it.
Yes, yes, precisely. Yeah. And what I would say in that is that then you can also make that difference less important.
Yeah.
Now, in that, that is the point. It isn't that you are moving in a direction in which the differences are not important at all, or that you suddenly are accepting them in the capacity that it doesn't matter to you at all. No. But what does happen is, yes, you can complain about it and then you can throw off that energy rather than continuing to follow the feelings and allowing the feelings to dictate your behavior, which if you do that, then likely what happens is you generate significant conflicts. You are attempting to change the other person fit your direction. You are moving in expressions of becoming considerably frustrated and angry. You will want to be forcing situations, and I would say that the force and the wanting to change can move in either direction. Either you are forcing in relation to the other person and you are wanting them to be different, or you turn it on yourself and you judge yourself and you discount yourself and you want yourself to be different, and you are expressing that intolerance of yourself.
Yeah, I do that too. Like, I think, like I should change. Okay. One thing that's kind of frustrating.
Yes, and in either direction, it is not beneficial. And it leads in directions of considerable conflict, which that is the piece that you are changing and avoiding.
Yeah.
Not that you will necessarily reach a common ground, so to speak.
Right. No common ground is not the objective. The avoiding conflict is.
Correct, precisely. Because you likely won't reach a common ground.
Right. And I don't even have to worry about that. That's not my job, not my concern.
One direction and their perception is in a different direction.
Right. Okay. So the other kind of little thing that bothers me with this woman, I feel like there might be something more to it. Like I wonder, you know, like we are reflections of each other and such. Like she frickin' keeps talking and won't listen to what she'll ask questions, and you want to respond to the questions, but she doesn't listen to the answers. And I feel like I'm on some sense trapped because I am with this woman. I'm trapped with her. And one, I'm trapped because since I am in a quote unquote business relationship, maybe it's good because you can't necessarily create conflict. You want to, like, I feel like if it was a friend or something, I might say, oh my God, just stop talking and listen, say it like that, you know, but I can't say this to this woman in the type of relationship we have. But I feel so that because it's a work relationship, I almost feel trapped not to be able to express myself the way I really want to express myself. And that is frustrating.
And I would say that that is the challenge also.
Yeah.
That you think you can't express yourself in the manner that you want to. You can, but it is a matter of
how?
Discovering how to do that.
Okay, yeah, I can kind of see that. Okay.
Therefore, if the other individual asks a question and they won't stop talking for you to give a response to the question, then rather than becoming frustrated and thinking, if you would stop talking, I would be able to answer your question, rather than moving in that direction, you can move in an expression of asking your own question, such as, do you want to know what my response is to that question?
Yeah, okay.
Are you interested in my opinion about that question?
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Because in that, then you are expressing differently, in which you are seeking other information. You are giving the other individual the opportunity to define what they want. Do they actually want an answer, or do they simply want to ask questions? Because sometimes people don't necessarily want an answer to the questions they are asking. They simply want to ask the questions. And that might be foreign and different to you, but some people move in those directions. And in that, if you are expressing yourself in a genuine manner by asking another question, then you avoid putting yourself in that position of being frustrated or irritated with the other individual's behavior.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of just a matter of practicing on these things and thinking about them and just kind of...
And it can be very challenging. I definitely acknowledge that because you aren't accustomed to paying attention in that manner. Therefore, when you are actually in the situation and you are listening to another individual drone on, you aren't necessarily accustomed to being aware of thinking about what you want to do. You are simply reacting.
What I want to do. You know, one of the things that I think frustrates me, I love that you brought up about myself not changing either, because I do think in these interactions, even though I complain and I say they're idiots, there is a part of me that's thinking I am not engaging in the situation correctly and then that I'm doing something wrong.
I understand, and you aren't.
Yeah, so that's the part I think that really leads to the frustration, too.
Yeah.
And I know, like, at work, when I feel like I've been paying attention to the feelings, like, something happened, like they said, 3 units were spec'd a certain way, and I'm like, God, I don't remember doing that. Why would I have done that? What an idiot I was. And I felt my heart just sink and claw. And I knew, well, 2 things. One, I felt it claw because I'm like, I didn't remember doing it. So I thought, wow, you've really lost your mind. And 2, I thought, oh, the mistake, the thought of me making a mistake or making a wrong move. I still feel it like, I was bad. I did something wrong. I still feel that feeling. So I am paying attention to it. And I'm aware of it. I mean, it turns out I didn't. I mean, what?
And let me. Yeah. About that also.
Yeah.
In relation to your ideas of mistakes and bad and the judgment that you place on yourselves about that, let me express to you your reality is perfect in its imperfections. It is always perfect in all of its imperfections. In that, you are always moving, always changing, always engaging, and you are always paying attention to something. You simply may not be paying attention to what is directly in front of you. Or you may not necessarily be paying attention to what you are doing. But you are paying attention to something. Therefore, you are always paying attention. You simply aren't always paying attention to what you are doing in the moment. Now, in that, I would say that it is important to remind yourself that your reality is always perfect in its imperfections. That whatever those imperfections are, they are giving you information. And it is always valuable. Therefore, that which you think of as mistakes are simply the imperfections in that perfection. And in it, they are perfect in their timing because they always give you information. Therefore, they always are an opportunity for you to grow.
Yes.
And that is how you are always perfect in every moment in all of your imperfections. Rather than judging yourself for making mistakes, wrong, or doing something wrong, and how strongly you judge yourself for that, as if it is something that is irrevocable, that you can't change it, which is entirely not true. But that is how harsh you are with yourself in relation to making mistakes and what you think of as doing something wrong.
I do think I judge myself a lot.
I agree. And I would express that it is very important for you to practice being more gentle with yourself. I know you are, but I would very much encourage you to do it more.
So weird. I don't even know. I mean, it's like, it seems like it's just been so, like, I've been thinking this whole time, like before conversation, like there, like I feel like it's this little hang up. I feel like there's this little hang-up I've been searching for. And I thought it was something else, but I'm thinking now maybe it's judging myself. Maybe that's this little hang-up that I've been searching for. I don't know.
I would definitely agree. Because it influences you to be harsh with yourself. That you don't simply express that you made a mistake. You add to that you were wrong, and that is bad. And how could you do that? Therefore, it is more than simply making a mistake. You judge yourself in a harsh manner, and I would express that you can practice being more gentle with yourself in those situations also by reminding yourself, whatever the mistake was, if I made a mistake, it was simply one of those imperfections that is perfectly placed in my reality that I will learn from. Therefore, not only is it not something to be harshly judging yourself about, but it is also something that you can use as an opportunity.
Wow. It's just so weird to me. I hadn't really thought about it, that I really judge myself a lot. And I've been so focused on, like, the other people, and it's really, wow. How about that?
I would say.
Can I say something? Go ahead.
Give yourself a considerable amount of credit, which is excellent. you pay attention tremendously, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But you also do have a tendency to judge yourself, and when you do it in a harsh manner.
Can I say, you know what's funny? It's talk about no accidents and the funny and the paradoxes of life, and that the saying that we say, oh, is right in front of your nose all the time. One of my favorite sayings is, like, there's a saying that goes, that went around, not so much anymore, but people would say, don't be a hater, don't be a hater. And I always changed that. And I would say, don't be a judger, don't be a judger. And I was always placing it, noticing when other people were judging, and I'm like, don't be a judger. I've been saying that forever. I've been like giving myself this message to myself forever. And I mean, it's funny to me right now because I was directing it outwards, but it was the message I needed to hear, and I've been saying it forever. Don't be a judger. Don't be a judger.
And what I would say to you, my friend, is that that is very typical. Whenever you are expressing and projecting a judgment in relation to other people, you very much would benefit by looking at yourself in that same expression. Because when you project outwardly a judgment to someone else, that is the reason why you do it.
I know. So it's interesting.
To be able to see it, that is the reason why you do it. Because if you project it outward, then it is easier to see it.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, so to be paying attention to what I am projecting outward, because, so it's, but I kind of feel like maybe I was going about it when I'm telling, because I was thinking, when I'm saying don't be a judger, practice, because I know that I can judge other people too, so I was like, judging myself for judging other people, going, I don't want to judge other people, so don't be a judger. So I was more paying more attention about to not judging other people than to not judging myself. So if I stop judging myself, right, I probably won't be judging other people. It kind of would be easier just to stop judging myself.
I would definitely agree.
Huh. How about that? Huh. How about that? Yeah. Wow, I don't even know if I know how to stop judging myself, but I'm going to use that imperfections are perfect. Yeah. Wow, I do judge myself so much. I'm always, and I judge myself.
Now that you see that, you can be aware of it.
Yeah. I think I also judge myself into thinking, one way I judge myself is saying, oh, I can be better at this. I could do better. I can do better. I don't necessarily need to do better.
I agree. I agree.
All right.
But say that some things you think about in doing something better merely to spur yourself on to expand something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it depends, like doing better, not because I'm bad, but doing better because I want to learn more.
Yes. Yes. I would very much agree with that.
All right. Well, thanks once again for hanging in there with me, Elias. I do appreciate it.
It is entirely my pleasure, my friend.
So,
and I shall greatly be anticipating our next opportunity to share with you again.
So, Elias, I want to connect with you with my awareness and when I go to my non-physical, I want to connect with you. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. but I want to do that.
Very well. I shall be present as always, and we shall see what you discover.
Okay. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Love you.
And I express tremendous love to you also, my friend. Wondrous friendship and tremendous supportiveness as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir.